Okay, my name is Thomas Olsson, living in the north part of Sweden, Swedish, born and raised in Gothenburg. My career is was a truck driver, bus driver, humanitarian worker, worked in a few countries. I would say also that former kidnapped in Syria, now doing HIIT trainings and other kind of security work as a consultant.
And Thomas, could you explain briefly what happened to you as much as you're comfortable with sharing?
Yes, that's fine. I was on have been traveling down to the Middle East for about 10 years before the incident took place regarding my kidnapping. Been to Jordan a lot, also into Syria, Damascus, and south, north, wherever in Syria. So I did humanitarian work both in Jordan and in Syria. So what happened was basically I was kidnapped together with a friend of mine, and we were held hostage by Jabhat al-Nusra or Al-Qaeda for about 1.5 years.
What kind of humanitarian work were you doing at the time?
We were supporting, let's say, political people who thought something different than the government did, and also humanitarian aid, like or no normal humanitarian aid.
Okay. And when did you realize that you were in a kidnapping situation?
Let's say like this: we were captured in the beginning of December 2013, but it took maybe 3, 4, 5, up to 1 week before we really recognized that we were kidnapped and not protected from other gangs, so to say.
And did you have any sense at that time of how long this might go on for?
No, of course I thought that it would be a quick solution on the problem. So I thought maybe before our departure back to Sweden, I think it was the 6th of December, something like that. So a few days, I thought it would take.
Okay. Yeah. And then I'm sorry, you might have said it already in here, but could you say again how long it actually did take in the end?
No, it took 1.5 years.
1.5 years. Okay. And at the time, did you have a sense of what kind of negotiations might be going on behind the scenes? Like, did you have a sense of what governments might be doing or anybody who was vouching for you?
Let's say like this: maybe to have a sense is maybe the wrong word, but we have the idea that many wanted to negotiate for us. We believe that Qatar was involved, Turkey was involved, Sweden was involved, of course, but of course we didn't know really what was going on. We're just hoping for it.
Did you get any information at any point about what was happening on your behalf?
We got a lot of information for sure, but it was never confirmed who it was. It was basic information that someone negotiated and wanted our release, but we didn't know whom it was.
Okay. And before this experience, did you have any idea about how these types of negotiations normally worked?
No idea. But in the same time, I always had hope that the Swedish government would negotiate for us, and that there should be some kind of solution to the problem.
Yeah, okay. What did you do to calm your thoughts and get through the experience emotionally?
You mean during the time down there or afterward?
During the time there.
No, I used a lot of meditation. I would say that I'm a Christian as well, so I had a lot of let's say Bible positive. I would say positive Bible verses, positive imaginations of the future about family, and what we usually say called a safe place. So I used a lot of time meditating on positive things, specifically when there were a lot of stress and things going on around, so to say.
Um, And were there things that you felt like helped you in dealing with the people who were holding you, like in terms of how you communicated with people or trying to use different techniques yourself in that communication?
I think one thing was to care, to try to feel some kind of empathy with their cause, but not just the cause, but also individuals. Many of them were hurt. They lost family members, friends, and so on. So it helped a lot to try to feel empathy with them, even though, of course, I did not agree what they were doing and so on. But I think that helped a lot, sharing things, sharing belongings, sharing food. Try to care about them as well, even though it was hard, of course.
Yeah. Were you able to get to a point where you did feel genuine empathy and, you know, not having to kind of force yourself to do it?
Of course. I mean, we could hear the bombings all around, the barrel bombs going down on the villages around. We saw quite a few people injured. So it was not hard at all to feel some kind of empathy with them. No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there anything else that you felt like you did in terms of the way that you did communicate with them? So not just in your thoughts and feelings, but also about how you would speak. And did you, you know, kind of like employ any strategies in your communication style?
Yes, I think so. Of course, it was hard to communicate with everyone. So you need to choose and determine during time who was credible to share things with and ask for things. So you had to build some kind of relationship with them. Some were bad, but some were also good. And when you felt there was someone that bit the hook, you could try to communicate and build relationships with them. And by the way, all of them did not want to be in this situation either. So some were forced, even though they made a decision to stay, of course.
And were people sharing with you their stories, like telling you about how they had been forced into the situation?
Yeah. It could be family relationships. It could be someone that ended up on the wrong side of the checkpoint because they wanted to leave the area, but it was controlled by Javita Nostra in this case.
Hmm. And Thomas, were there English speakers or did you learn Arabic or how did the communication actually work?
There were English speakers there as well, but they were not very common. They spoke bad English and I also tried to say that I do not speak Arabic or I don't understand if I didn't want to talk with them. But some were real good. I will not say nice, but on the border to being nice. And it was possible to communicate with them as well. No problem.
Mm. So were you using not knowing Arabic as a technique to get out of certain things you didn't want to discuss? Is that what I understand?
Exactly. So I used what I have and I used what I didn't have as well. So if I didn't want to talk with them, I said, I don't speak Arabic, or I said it in Arabic as well.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have any contact with your family over this time?
Yes, in the sense that we had letters written to each other. Maybe every second, every third month, we had some kind of communication. They called it proof of lives. They wrote a message to me, and then I replied. But it was the basic things: I love you, I care for you, wish all the best for you, and so on and so on.
Were you able to be honest in those letters, or were you having to communicate in a calculated way in those letters as well?
I was honest to the sense that I wanted them to feel support and be comfortable, even though they were comfortable. They did not risk their lives in that sense, but Of course, I lied a little bit, or gray lies, or white lies, or whatever you say. So, honest to a degree, but not all the time, no.
Yeah, yeah. And was your family also using white lies to try and keep your spirits up?
I don't know if it was white lies, but I do know that it was only positive messages coming from them. Written letters, it was it was good. It was gave hope, faith, and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Joining us today on Peace Talks Radio is Thomas Olson. Thomas Olson, I want to ask you some questions about hostage situations in general, based on your work and your experience. Mm-hmm. I know every situation is different, and there's probably no right way to respond. But what does tend to help people in these situations? Are there negotiation techniques or skills that tend to help people get by and improve their situation at all?
No, I think there are a few things. It's what I will call the survival strategies, like meditating or something positive, breathing techniques, recognizing if your body tensed or not, exercise as well, have some kind of imagination in your head, to see the future, to see a good solution of the problems. Or hope, for example. Take the small pieces and make something positive out of them. But also, of course, I think it's a skill to build relationships. It's not just to build. You can build bad relationships and you can build good relationships. You need to be a bit skilled as well.
Was this something that you were already naturally skilled in? Like, were you somebody who found it easy to build relationships in your regular life before this?
Yeah, I think that, it's accurate, so to say. I had quite easy to build relationships. I'm a bit communicative, or whatever you say in English. Easy to feel how people are, how they feel, to be able to... chip in where it's possible to chip in.
Yeah. And do you think that that's that kind of like innate ability is something that that helped you in this situation?
Yes, of course. I mean, there's so many things. It could be to have a toilet visit, for example. It could be to have an extra piece of vegetables, go outside. It helps a lot. It helped a lot.
Mm. And when you talk to them about a survival mindset, in the courses that we do, that's something that we get trained on a lot. But is that something that you already had some sense about, or did you have to kind of teach yourself in the moment?
No, I think I had almost all things. When I needed it. The things that I did not have, it was, of course, the things with shootings, bombings, where to protect yourself and so on. But I think I had many of the other skills.
Yeah, okay. And in terms of communicating with kidnappers or people who are holding you, again, in a general sense, do you think that honesty works best, or is there some level of calculated misdirection that can be useful?
I don't know, but I do know that I never lied. I did not tell the whole truth all the time. I know that they respected me because I was honest. I stood up for my faith, for example. I did not want to convert. I was honest about my family, how I felt, and so on. So I do think it's for me, it was important to stand up for what I believed in, to keep my integrity. It's not just a way of behavior to get advantage, but it's also to live with your decisions and the things that you say and do.
Thomas Olson, are there any skills that you gained from your experience that you use in your regular life now?
I cannot say that I got new skills, but I now understand how important they are. I mean, meditation, for example, keep a good good view of the future, visualization, keeping the hope, look good on the future, take the small parts in life and try to make them to something important. Maybe stop doing things that I didn't want to do. I did not feel that gave me anything. But try to do things that I really love, that inspires me and gives me purpose and a meaning as well.
Can I just ask you, what are those things that you really love and give you purpose that you focus on more now?
No, one thing is, of course, to give a purpose and a meaning to what I experienced, to share to people that can receive it, embrace it, and make it to something positive in their life. Another thing will be to be out in the nature, in the forest, fishing, and doing things that keeps me in a good mood. I could say that. And of course, family as well, of course.
And your new grandchild, I guess.
Yes, I have now 6 grandchildren, so so the 6th came for a few days ago. So of course, it is purpose and meaning, and just to see a small child, the eyes, the fingers, the nails, everything is, in this case, was perfect.
Your situation is obviously extremely unique. Most people listening to this will never experience anything close to what you went through. But are there skills or techniques that people can apply in day-to-day situations in regular life? I'm thinking in terms of stress management or negotiating skills. Are there things that you think regular people could still incorporate into improving everyday situations?
Yeah, of course. I think to be happy over the small things, the small victories, so to say, the small celebrations. It's sunny today, or, oh, fantastic, it's raining today for the farmers. Relationships is another thing. So have a good social network. Know that someone is on your side and you are on their side. Exercise, breathing, and all those things that I already mentioned. But I will also recommend to have like regular service, as we send our cars to regular services. We should have someone to talk with on a regular basis for our mental well-being as well.
Do you mean like speaking with a mental health professional or having a friend to speak to? Or
yeah, I think both is good. Social network, of course, good social network. But I will also suggest whosoever it is to visit a psychologist or a mental specialist whensoever, just to have a check-in. I would recommend that on a regular basis.
Yeah. I think it's helpful for everybody. Yeah. Thomas, after your release, what have you done that's helped you to, I guess, not move on, but to make peace with what had happened?
I think many of the things that I did in captivity helped me when I came back out to freedom. One thing is to forgive to a degree to who hurt you, and I think that caused me not to be bitter. Another positive thing was to see that my family got the support that they really needed. It gave me hope in some points as well. Maybe the last thing I will say, that I had a very good social network, and I received help from a psychologist for about 1.5 years after the incident. To be able to treat me and talk to me.
Thomas, when the general public learns about detention or hostage situations, we tend to know very, very little about what's going on behind the scenes. And there's often a sense that, you know, the government's not doing anything or the organization's not doing anything. Why is it that the general public hears so little about what's actually happening?
One thing could be that many don't want, from a hostage perspective, it's we don't want to share our stories. We don't want to expose family members and so on as well. And as a hostage, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happened. We just basically know that something have happened and now we are free. We don't know all the details or anything like that. But of course, it's a business. It's political things as well. But I don't have a good answer on that.
Yeah. Okay. Did you ever find out the full details of the negotiations for your situation, or are there things that you still don't know about?
Oh, there are many things that I don't know about that I would like to know about, but I think I have done what I can do to get knowledge about it. I have some knowledge, but of course not all knowledge.
Yeah. But so, I mean, I feel like, you know, the impression from movies or TV is we would expect that at the end, somebody sits you down and says, okay, this is what happened and this is who talked to who. But I imagine that didn't actually happen for you, did it?
No, of course, I asked they who negotiated for us and some other as well. But they basically said, don't force us to lie. So, of course, the questions are asked, but I will say the best answers regarding the answers they can give.
Yeah, without giving up information that's not safe to give. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but it can also be political things as well. So, but I don't have any knowledge about that. I have some ideas, pure knowledge, let's say. Yeah.
Yeah. And who was it that did actually negotiate for your release?
We don't know, really. we do have some ideas, of course. Of course, the Swedish government communicated, but we don't know who negotiated for us. We have some ideas, but we don't have the full picture again.
Yeah. Okay, I see. Those are the main questions that I had wanted to ask you, but are there things that I've missed or things that you would like to add?
Not really. I just want to repeat meditation, breathing exercise, to have some kind of imagination, visualization in your mind, have a positive view of the future, celebration, take care of the small things in life, build good relationships. Writing was another thing that helped me quite much regarding nightmares. If the nightmare was bad, I always continued in a good way. I rewrote the feelings, emotions, and dreams, and so on. And I will also...
Do you mean... Do you mean that you wrote the what happened in the nightmares, or that you wrote it and changed what happened so it was positive?
Yeah. I wrote what I remembered, and then I changed it to something positive.
Okay. And was that after your release or while you were in detention as well?
It was after. We did not have access to paper and pen in the prison settings. Hmm. Yeah, but that's it, I think. Enjoy life.
Thomas, you're such a positive person. Were you always this way, or has your perspective really shifted?
I think now you see a positive side of me, and I do have a positive side, but of course I have also have a, not a dark side, but life goes up and down, but we always need to find something positive to hold on to, and I will not say press on, but be relaxed for the future, be comfortable for the future.
Yeah,
in life in general.
Okay. Thank you so much. This was so helpful. Again, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm fine.